You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I'm rejoined with my trusty co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tam.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you've been watching the show with your mom.
Yeah, I went down to mom's. She put on the Tiny Homes, or I'm not even sure what it's called, but she made me watch this show, Tiny Homes. And she goes, you guys should do a segment on it because it's really popular. So that's how some of these segments come to birth.
And you know that I'm a big technology buff, and I one of my favorite things I subscribe to, it used to be called Gizmag, now it's called New Atlas, but it always comes out with every new technology thing. Mm-hmm. And they have so many articles on tiny homes because of the technology that goes into them to, you know, to be really efficient with the space.
Yeah, it's cool. But what happens is that this is considered a trend that's pretty much sweeping over America. And like anything, I guess a zoot suit, that was a trend. The parachute pants was a trend. And this could very well be just a trend.
Right. Well, and when we talk about these, we're going to talk about the reasons why buying a tiny house may be a mistake.
Correct.
After we've researched it,
you and I both
mm-hmm. agree that it's probably not the best financial move. And I'm going to preface this by saying that there are a lot of things that you do that you spend money on that you know may not be the wisest financial thing, but you decide to do it anyway because you just mm-hmm. want to spend
practical,
your money that way.
Right, or whatever.
Yeah,
it
may be impractical, mm-hmm. But you want to get that car that's overpriced, or you want to have that really nice boat or the motorcycle. May not be the smartest financial move, but you really want to do it. So that's, know that we're not judging you if you want to buy a tiny house.
No,
but we're going to give you some reasons why not to financially.
Right, return on investment. What is it? So here's the five reasons.
Six reasons, actually.
Six reasons. Right, that's right. It's a fad. So just like platforms, sneakers, the leisure suits that I was talking about, the tiny home trend is one that, you know, just may not be hot for very long. It may cool down. And, you know, the reality TV makes these things really popular, and you just got to really consider all the things about it. I mean, it sounds like fun and kind of cool to be creative, but in the long run, are you going to get your return on investment on something like this?
Probably not. All right. Number two on the list is that buyers are few. So you have to think about how much demand is there for anything that you buy. Is it a marketable commodity where you can turn around and sell it if you want to, especially sell it and get your money back out? The buyers are pretty limited for a tiny home.
Right. And one of the things that a real estate agent had said is that compare the tiny home to like how many people want to live on a highway. If you have a major highway going through, how many? And she said, if you look at that, that's how many people really want a tiny home.
Right. You don't. You're going to go ahead and live on the highway if you can get it so cheap that you'll just ignore the highway.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
A tiny home may be the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Number three, Tammy.
Yep. It's less marketable. So really, the vast majority of tiny homes can accommodate one or two people. In reality, our family would not fit. So, which means many of the buyers who entertain or host overnight guests, there's no place for them. You know, there's just not a spot. So these vacation homes, these residents, when I was on, you know, I traveled on Airbnb, these homes were available to rent, which was nice. But if I would have had one more person with me, it wouldn't have worked, you know. So if you're thinking about doing it to rent it out, you may limit who can stay.
All right, next, number four on the list, this is just too darn small.
Right.
Okay, they call it a tiny home for a reason, and you may be able to stay in that closet for, you know, for a little bit of time, but the longer you're there, well, that's you know, it's not a lot of space to put your stuff.
No, and the accumulation of stuff, that's just it. There's no room for it. You have a very, very tiny place to, you know, if you go find something at a flea market or wherever, you're not going to have a spot for it. There's no room.
Well, I love the idea of simplicity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the idea of downsizing and just keeping life really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these tiny homes, you know, you'll see a pretty good variation in size, all the way from, you know, these one-room little sheds. I would compare it to a clubhouse I built when I was a kid. It looked like a home. All the way up to some of these that are, some of them are, 400 or 500 square feet would still kind of qualify for this.
Yep.
You know, some of them you can pull on a trailer. Some of them are fixed. But, you know, big variation.
Right. I mean, you got to think, where are you going to put your shovel? Where is the kitty litter box? Or where is the dog food going to stay? I mean, things like that. Those are things that you have to really think about if that's really...
And I think it was probably born out of the idea that you think in New York, people in a studio apartment deal with the same thing. And they thought, let's take this studio apartment on the road. And, you know, could you still continue to live this way very simply, but not necessarily have to be in some high rise?
Right.
All right. Number five is that it's not less expensive.
Correct.
The thought is that you'd buy one of these tiny homes because it would be really, really cheap.
Right.
But they're really not that cheap.
No, they're not. And we were figuring some of these were upwards to $187 a square foot. So if you this is a high, I guess, a higher end tiny home.
When a lot of them were looking at $50,000 or $60,000 was pretty common for a fairly nice one. But that doesn't include the place where you're going to put it. So if you have to buy some land to put it on. Now that's going to add to the cost.
And let's face it, Doug, financing one of these homes, how is that going to be?
You're not going to get a regular mortgage on it.
Right.
It's going to be below the minimum square footage for almost any lender out there. It's going to be below the minimum loan amounts for almost any lender out there. It's rarely going to be considered real property. It would have to be affixed to a permanent foundation.
Recreational.
Most time it's going to be considered personal property, much like a boat or a car or something like that. So much more difficult to get financed. You better plan on paying cash for it.
Mm-hmm.
So number six, Tammy.
Yep. Zoning regulations, a place to put it. You mentioned it earlier. So where are you going to put it? I mean, you buy this tiny home and you think, okay, well, I'm going to put it on the backyard of my mom and dad's house or whatever. And all of a sudden, it doesn't meet zoning regulations. And now what? You know, thinking ahead. So the American Tiny House Association is trying to work with the zoning regulations, the federal zoning regulations, and they're making a little bit of headway. But right now, as it is, it's still considered camping, and mainly because of the square footage and that it's on wheels. But an RV park, they don't assume that they're going to let you stay because they have regulations.
Even though you can drag this house behind you sometimes.
Yeah,
big,
on a trick, whatever. Right? They're not, because they belong to an association called the RVIA, which is the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association. So if you're making your tiny home yourself, look into the RVIA and become a member of that, and then you might be able to get into the RV park.
Here are the best applications I can see for this, Tammy. I'm going to wrap up pretty quickly. But if you live out in a rural area and you, instead of building a mother-in-law quarters, you might be able to buy one of these tiny homes to put on your existing land.
Mm-hmm.
Or if, let's say you have a lake lot and you want a little house to be able to put for you guys to stay in when you're there. That's an example of where this could be feasible. So visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com, and you'll be able to see this blog post and some pictures of some tiny homes.
Yeah.
And coming up, we're going to be talking to Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance about business insurance and how to make sure that you're protected. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.